Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a god of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Man!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio Sco! That's right, Sco. If you're not from the Midwest, perhaps you are not familiar with the lingo. We are very busy in the Midwest. We don't have time to actually say, let's go. So we just make it one word, SCO. It's a time saver. And wow, we need more of that, don't we? Because who has time to actually talk to a human being? Now we just text and we abbreviate everything. HYD. Really, you couldn't spell out how you doing. My favorite might be K, because using your thumb to hit the O as in okay. Oh, exhausting. I don't have time. We got to make it snappy. Sco to idea@wretched.org and send us stuff. And if you want to text, use your texter machine, 877-282-2337, and make sure you abbreviate as much as possible. Jimmy appreciates that.
I do. I really do. Mm-hmm. So ask me how I tell the kids it's time to eat dinner.
Skeet.
Seat.
Seat?
Seat. Let's eat. Seat.
Seat? That's even...
Well, that's...
I'm not
that's
sure what, which is worse, honestly.
That's what...
Oh, so skeet would be let's go eat.
Yeah, no, I say seat.
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 Are you that busy?
Yeah, I'm just that country.
There's a lot of those country words, yeah.
All right, this is from Harrison. Todd, why do you always say...
Okay, hold it. Always? Do I always... That's a rule that I had to learn in marriage. You got to throw out the always.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I always leave that. Always. So 24/7, I always leave. Don't always, because always never really works.
Why do you always say my never before nicotine stained fingers?
It's an homage to Rush Limbaugh, who apparently was a smoker. I never was. Thankfully, the Lord spared me of that. When I was a kid, I took one puff from a stolen cigarette from my grandmother, and it is like somebody stabbed me in the lungs. And I was like, I'm out. I know it looks cool, or at least I thought I did when I was a kid. It hurt too bad. So I never picked up the habit. So I know I don't have nicotine stained fingers. So when I say I hold in my never before nicotine stained fingers, always. it's just a reference to Rush Limbaugh, who used to say my formerly nicotine stained fingers. And it's just a hearkening to Rush Limbaugh. And as long as you're asking, even though you didn't, whenever I say Rexella, that's a shout out to Jack Van Impe, who used to quote Bible verses all the time and talk about his wife. Oh, Rexella. 877-28. Jimmy, you're a smoker.
Yeah, I was. I had that same experience. You know, the first time I ever smoked a cigarette, it like caved my chest in.
Why did you keep going?
Because I was not a quitter.
Good boy. Way to persevere.
Yes,
you are an overachiever. Do you know what we? You know what I'm actually chewing? Well, I'm not like at this second. I had my second piece of nicotine come today.
Well, are you working up to a smoking?
It was a prescription. No. Dr. Jason Lyle, who was in studio here a few weeks ago, when I told him about parasmia, which is one of the lingering maladies if you had a particular case of COVID, where your sniffer or your taste just either went away or stuff tasted or smelled rancid and awful. I just lost my taste and smell. I can put my nose into a rose. Nothing, but that's okay. I don't actually need an olfactory sense because I'm married to Mrs. Friel and she smells everything. So we're covered in that regard. Lost the taste. I mean, I can kind of taste stuff, but not like it once was. My daughter who actually works right across the hall from this studio, she got the rancid part. So did Rebecca down the hall, where they could eat, like, I think they were eating like a particular kid's cereal because it was about the only thing that didn't taste horrible. I was telling Dr. Jason Lyle about this, and he said, nicotine gum. What? Nicotine gum. It's known to re-kick whatever it is that got turned off. It flips the switch somehow on taste and smell. So I said, well, okay, how much of this should I chew? Very scientifically, he said, not a lot. Okay, thanks for that. So I didn't go to Costco because you just get a lot. In fact, I did look at the nicotine gum at Costco. It was like 800 tablets, but nevertheless, it was like 50-some dollars, something like that.
Gosh.
So we ordered it online, and I got 20 tablets of gum, and I took 10, and I gave 10 to my daughter, who, after chewing her first piece, sends me a text, please come to my office immediately. She was lying on the ground. The nicotine gave her the spins so bad she couldn't sit upright.
Yep.
She's lying on the ground, and it's like, okay, how many pieces did we have, dear? One. Apparently, that is a side effect of nicotine gum. It gives you the zoomies. Some people just vertigo.
I think it's a side effect of nicotine, period.
Period.
Because when I was smoking, even in the throes of it, the first cigarette I would smoke every morning would do that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't know what it is, to be honest with you.
I just struggled to figure out the habit of smoking. I know people, it latches. I get it. But I don't know what it is. What was the, how long did you smoke?
Oh man, I smoked two different times. So I quit once for a few years and then picked it back up again.
Silly rabbit.
Yeah, I know. But probably a grand total of 12, 15
wow.
years. Yeah. Yeah.
Camel straights?
No. I mine had filters.
Yeah, menthol.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
You were a dude who smoked menthol and you didn't get beat up in Tennessee for that?
No, I didn't get beat up in Tennessee.
So why'd you finally quit?
Why did I finally quit?
Yeah.
Family, probably the biggest thing.
That's disappointing. That is not spiritual at all.
No, and you know what?
What about your temple, Jimmy?
That too.
What about black lunging your temple?
And that's you know, the thing that I realized the most after I quit is
how much money you've been wasting.
Well, that's a big one. Yes, yeah, for
how
sure.
How stinky you were.
That is it. You don't smell yourself, and once you quit, you don't even smell other people that smoke. But so once
you know what, I've got your solution. Nicotine gum. 877-282-2337.
All right, from Jess Todd. I'm a nursing student. We see a lot of videos of cadaver dissections to help us better understand the body. How do we view cadaver dissection from a biblical perspective?
Well, if you're talking about just watching somebody else do it, I think whether you do it, you happen to be an undertaker, if that's is that the correct term these days, or has that been kind of updated? A mortuarist.
Yeah.
It's a body recreation enhancement specialist. Treat it with honor. That's all. Just view it with honor. Treat it with honor. And recognize that is going to be a body that is going to get resurrected if they're a believer and last for eternity. Well, actually, even if they're an unbeliever, they're going to go get an eternal body. They ain't taking it to heaven. But nevertheless, treat it with honor. And as far as looking at the body, I think... I understand having to see the entire human body for scientific purposes and for medical purposes, but nevertheless, it should just all be done with great honor for the human body. We don't put the body above the spirit, but we don't degrade it, and we don't treat it shabbily just because it's dead. I'll get this. Don't you worry. Could I have a cigarette, please? I can't seem to spit this. The Gnostics, I believe they so anti-body. They didn't even think Jesus had a body. That's how disparaging they were toward the body, because everything physical is evil automatically. That's just not the way that we Christians see it. We are dualistic. We're body and spirit. So view and treat with honor. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Minaj. Todd, is it ever okay to allow a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon into your house to evangelize them or even to greet them at your front door?
Bringing up kind of a painful subject.
Oh.
Was it a couple of weeks, whenever it was ago, had my first Jehovah's Witness show up at the door.
Ah.
And I couldn't talk to her because I was just getting on a Zoom call that had been scheduled forever, and I was just killing me to not be able to engage with her. It was very odd. She was up on our steps, and then there was another one down below who looked very anxious. And nevertheless, the reason for the question is 2 John 8:9-10. That neighborhood, maybe all three verses, that talk about don't do things that give an endorsement to a false teacher. And back in the day when 1 John was written, it would be to practice hospitality. If you brought a false teacher into your home, it was akin to saying, yep, I'm all for this dude's theology. Don't do that. So you have to consider cultural context. Will your neighbor see you inviting a Jehovah's Witness in and conclude, oh, I guess you're okay with that? I think it's debatable. So I guess it would be a matter of conviction and how you feel about that. Probably better, let them stand on the stoop. Maybe come visit another day when you can let them in. But whatever you think the rule is, just don't give the impression that you are in favor of Jehovah's Witnesses. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. FortisInstitute.org/truth.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, I have spoken to a Jehovah's Witness, but they've never come to my door before. I usually go after them. This is like... You're slow coming down. To me. This is so easy. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you'll send stuff that is wretched to idea@wretched.org or feel free to text at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text.
Never had Mormons come to the door either.
Oh, you haven't?
No. When I see them on campus, man, I am like a laser. I'm just, because I know you'll talk about it, but they get really guarded. They've been trained to deal with us, and the training basically is shut them down, get away from them. Mm-hmm. Just don't engage with them. Go find greener fields elsewhere, because they don't want them to engage, because they don't want them to hear the truth. The reality is Jehovah's Witnesses, nice people, I'm sure. Same thing with Mormons. They act nice. A lot of them are totally miserable though, because they have to act nice if they want to be reunited with their family in heaven, because both of those systems are work righteous systems, and they are very, very cultic in nature. I saw that with the two women who showed up at my door. Because I only had seconds and I knew it, all I did was say, have you read John 1:1 in a different translation? Boom, they were just like a shot. They were out of there. I was like, wow, I thought the Roadrunner was fast there. Because they're trained, get out of there. That is cult-like behavior.
Yeah. I would say the Mormons are probably the ones that lean more nicer than Jehovah. Because I have seen Jehovah's Witnesses angry.
They really aren't there. When you walk by them, say at the train station or they're hanging out at the airport, they don't really want or care if you approach them. Because that's not why they're not there to win converts. They're there to earn heaven.
Yeah.
They have to do. It's like you have to go there, stand there. So put on your tie and your dress and go stand there. What are we supposed to do? Nothing. Just stand next to the brochures and that'll get you to heaven. So they're not happy. It's a joyless system, and they aren't there because they genuinely want to win converts. And I'm sorry, I'm going to use the opportunity of what I just said to say something that I like repeating. And that is, remember what you are doing when you share your faith. You're not earning your way to heaven. You're sharing it because your way to heaven has been earned and you have been brought into the banquet. You have been brought into a feast. You have been adopted into the family of God. That's why we go to the highways and the byways. This could change the way you evangelize. Be persuaded in your own mind. This, if I open up my mouth and talk to this person I'm seated next to on an airplane, oh, it could become very contentious. Doesn't have to at all. If you're excited about it, hey, I'm curious, do you have any sort of spiritual background, religious background? Do you go to church, anything? Could I tell you about something amazing? That's just so different. And if they shut you down, they shut you down. But we should be engaging enthusiastically. This is not like we're going to the streets to club people. We're going to the streets to proclaim, this is amazing. You have no idea what God has done for you. You have no idea what God is preparing for you. Let me tell you about the banquet. That's why we should be going. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, not so much. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Gabrielle. Todd, if the Bible is all sufficient and never returns void, shouldn't it be a waste of time to read anything else?
That's a really good question. Is it a waste of time? No, but what should be our primary source? If the Bible is the best, why would you lean more heavily on secondary? There is value, there is benefit in reading the thoughts of other theologians who have come before you. That's just wisdom, to receive wisdom from other people, especially if they are sound in the faith and they rightly divide the word.
you just take as much as you can from them, but make sure you remember the Bible's better. The Bible is better than any other book ever written. So all I would say is just watch your balance and make sure that your diet leans more heavily toward Bible than reading about the Bible, because it is the better book. But you shouldn't feel bad about reading other stuff, because there's plenty of great stuff about the Bible, but it's not the Bible. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, is preaching a wrathless gospel false teaching? If a church is teaching that you must repent for your sin and put your trust in Jesus, but never mentions the wrath of God on the unrighteous or explains exactly what sin is, would that be false teaching?
I don't know that I would be willing to put it into the category of false teaching necessary. I would say it's deficient teaching. It is not explaining the entirety of the gospel so that it can make sense to the hearer. We have to give full instructions. Otherwise, we're just not doing a good job of presenting the gospel. Leaving out components is a dreadful mistake. But what I call it false teaching, if it's not being done intentionally, if they're leaving something out because they don't like that, that's a problem. But when people fail to include certain components of the gospel, I think that is one of the biggest maladies in the evangelical community today. We leave out too many details. We assume people get it. And we assume that they understand that sin has a wage, death. Why? Because God is holy. We have to explain the character and the nature of God. Otherwise, just saying sin, it's like, whatever. You said everybody's a sinner, so what's the big deal? And without explaining who God is, sin is not exceedingly sinful. We need to explain the cross, what was happening there, so that the understanding isn't, well, that was kind of interesting that he died. No, it's earth-shattering that God would die for a sinner like you and me. He was receiving the wrath of God on the cross. Leaving those details out, it's just deficient. And I also think that it has been the source of so many false conversions. And I know this to be true. People don't know the gospel because I ask them all the time. That's probably my favorite lead question. Hey, do you know what the gospel is? You know, I've never heard anybody respond. I mean, seriously, I will do that pretty much out of the blue. So I got this straight. You want a chicken sandwich, and you want the potato salad. Yeah. Hey, I got a question. Do you know what the gospel is? I've never had anybody go, I'm going to spit in your food, pal. Who do you think you are? Get away from me, you finette. Never. They just engage. It's one of my favorite questions, and the answer is almost always wrong. Or they're completely mystified by the question. We have not done a great job of getting the key message, the very foundation of our Christian faith correct. And that is the gospel. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jay. Todd, this trend of wives initiating more divorces has been the case all our lives. Further, I found that if a wife goes to therapy alone, she is extremely likely to be the one to initiate the divorce.
Yeah.
There's no question. That was just the statement.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very fair observation. This women initiating divorces, it's not new. But I would add this, Jay. We're seeing the number of divorces that are initiated by women increasing. So it's yes, that trend has always been there. It's getting trendier. And you're right about a woman going to a counselor alone. Now, I want to be careful here, because a woman can go to counseling alone, even about marriage issues. But there are two considerations that are important for the biblical counselor. Number one is, at some point, you must engage the other party. Why? Because you're only hearing one side of the story. Second of all, if you're a biblical counselor, you got to be careful. If you're just dealing with one person, almost, if you're not a sound biblical counselor, you're almost always going to take the person's side. And then the problem resides at home. And that's a problem. So let's not make a rule that you can't counsel a spouse individually, but be mindful that you don't then having left the other spouse out, because here's the reality. We all shade things our way. We just do. And it can even be in instances where it's not intended to be malicious or secretive. We just do because we favor ourselves so much. And the wise biblical counselor at some point, probably sooner than later, is going to say, let's do this together. Let's bring this together so that we hear both sides of the story. So, Jay, I agree with you with that. There is a caution, but it's not to suggest, especially if you're an individual, you're a spouse, male or female, and you need help, go get it. Don't let that deter you. But even in that situation, the biblical counselor, in an effort to help you, is going to try to bring the other party in to help both together. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a daily Fortis News Break production of Fortis Institute. The consequences of denying biological reality have a name and a face. Alana King, a 20-year-old Dutch rugby player now facing lifelong pain after a male opponent pulled her knee out of socket. King suffered torn ACL and MCL ligaments when the transgender player grabbed her leg with what she described as immense male strength that women cannot match. Her teammates had to cover their ears because her scream sounded too painful. Speaking of institutional capture, Smith College proved that even a woman's college, founded in 1871, no longer knows what a woman is. The Massachusetts school had an honorary degree to Richard Levine, who then delivered the commencement address. Riley Gaines perfectly captured the absurdity in all of this, saying, "Ladies, congratulations. Your graduation was read by the very thing feminism was allegedly fighting." But there is encouraging pushback against this ideological tyranny. In Oregon, education worker Rod Fees is fighting back after his district threatened to fire him for displaying Matt Walsh's Johnny the Walrus and other books rejecting transgender ideology in his office. Officials called the books hostile, but also at the same time allowed employees to decorate with Black Lives Matter and LGBT messages, because those aren't hostile at all, are they? The Alliance Defending Freedom is representing Theus, and they're optimistic because the First Amendment is very clear that the government cannot target viewpoints for censorship. And the good news? Most Americans aren't buying the propaganda anymore. A new poll from the Associated Press reveals that 52% approve of President Trump's transgender policies, higher than his overall approval rating. Nearly 70% of Americans agree that sex is determined by biological characteristics at birth, including 74% of independents and even half of Democrats. President Trump himself demonstrated moral leadership earlier this week by confronting the South African president over the genocide against white farmers. Trump played videos of politicians singing "Kill the Boer" and showed articles documenting the systematic violence. When the president looked away uncomfortably, Trump pressed harder, saying, quote, "When they take the land, they kill the white farmer, and when they kill the white farmer, nothing happens to them." And meanwhile, Trump's energy policies are delivering real relief at the pump. At the moment, gas prices are projected to hit the lowest levels in over two decades over Memorial Day weekend, potentially dropping below $3 per gallon over the summer. Immigration enforcement is also working. ICE placed a detainer on a 24-year-old Venezuelan illegal alien who spent over a year posing as a 16-year-old at an Ohio high school. The man used forged documents to obtain guardianship, a social security number, and deportation protection while participating on the school's soccer and swim teams. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org, and you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Apparently, there are now three ways to communicate with us. This is Wretched Radio. You can email idea@wretched.org. You can text 877-282-2337. Or if you're Jimmy, you can wait for the microphone to go off and then jump all over me.
What did I do wrong now?
I did not jump all over you. I just asked you to clarify yourself.
Okay. And the issue was about false teaching.
Correct.
Regarding leaving out a component of the gospel.
That's right.
You didn't ask me to clarify. It was more like, you really think that's not false teaching?
That's the other
thing. It was more of an accusation than it was asking for a clarification.
So you said that you talked about a false teacher and the false teaching. And I think a good teacher can teach a false teaching without being a false teacher.
Because you just got it wrong.
That's right.
Something false.
That's right.
Right. If it's heretical, that's a problem. Unless, of course, you point out his heresy and he goes, whoa, I didn't know. I've changed. I'm right on board now. I'm Apollos. I got you now. So we've got to be careful I think that the word heresy and false teacher, they really need a little bit more precision than the way we tend to use them. So when it came to I believe the context was, leaving out the wrath of God in the gospel presentation, mm-hmm. is that false teaching? And I said, no, it's just biffing it. However, if the individual doesn't teach that component of the gospel because they deny it, then yes, that would be false teaching, intentional false teaching. But leaving something out would be a mistake, but I wouldn't automatically put the moniker false teaching or false teacher on it. Does that clarify it a little better?
I think so. Right. I think so.
You sure?
Maybe. I'm gonna chew on your answer for a while, and then during the break, I'll tag you.
You want a piece of nicotine gum to go with?
Three.
You can't handle three.
All right. This next, well, it's not a question. Maybe it is. This is from Mark. He tagged you too. From Perth, Western Australia. Todd, my 12-year-old son, Maximus,
is a killer name.
Maximus.
You know what? Maximus, your bar is high, dude.
Well, it's only going to get higher.
You better be a manly man with a name like Maximus.
He is a keen, wretched listener. Being homeschooled.
Okay, sorry. Keen. Uh-huh. Maximus, who's writing this text or email? You got good word selection. Maximus and keen.
Uh-huh. Being homeschooled, he fits his listening of Wretched into his daily routine. I have, however, recently busted him listening to Wretched when he should have been working on his math. Can you give him a stern Mr. Frill warning?
Yes, I can. Maximus, while we are called to honor our parents, there are times when you just cannot let them force you to sin. So keep listening. Did I get that right?
That's good.
Did I do this? Okay. Maximus, how old? He's 12?
12.
Dude, you are so ahead of the pack, man. You are just so ahead of the game, dude. Well done, but sorry. When it's time to study, you got to do your studies. This will apply, by the way, when you are off on your own and you're doing work, your boss can tell you, as long as it's not commanding you to sin, of course, you got to do what the boss says. And in this instance, the boss would be Dad, who's a really good wordsmith. So you're going to have to do what he tells you to do and then listen whenever that you can fit it in otherwise. And I can tell you this, that will benefit you. Honoring your dad will benefit you more than listening to this, because you're being godly. You're obeying the Lord who says, honor your father and mother. And if you can especially do it joyfully, oh, dude. And don't feel like you're sinning. When it's time to work, it's time to work. So what applies now, going to apply later. And dude, I just got to give you props. Well done. I think older people like Jimmy would do well to be on the lookout when a young man is doing good, when a young man is being godly, when a young man, for instance, shows up for church every Sunday. And not only that, but doesn't mope and, blend and come on, let's go. Can we get going? We got to encourage that behavior, because that's the stuff of manhood. That's what makes you a Maximus, doing godly things. So, dude,
Be encouraged, and a shout out to the rest of us. Encourage young men's good behavior when you see it. 877-282-2337.
Here, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I'm an elder at my church. A few months ago, we had a member of the church caught in sexual sin. We disciplined him according to the biblical principles as per our bylaw, and he turned away from that sin.
Oh, good.
Now he is discipling some of the younger men in our church who were not aware of the situation. I discussed this with the other elders. While I believe he is sincere in his repentance, I believe that he should be under teaching for a while until he disciples anyone. What say you?
I'd say sit down with those guys and hash it out. That's what I would say, and get collective wisdom. And if they do say make a decision, I think if the collective makes a decision you disagree with, you can go, okay, all right. Because that's kind of how we have to work inside of the body. But I would say this, praise God that the dude turned away from it. Praise God that he wants to help other people. That's a good thing. Should you choose to say to him, hey, it's probably good. Let's do some discipleship first. Let's give it a little season here. Because I think we've all seen this pattern before. Somebody has got a sin. They are ensnared to a sin. They get released from that bondage and they immediately want to jump into that ministry. Now, there's no biblical rules on that, but wisdom would suggest let's give it a little time here. Let's give it a little breathing room. Let's make sure the theology, let's make sure that the repentance is genuine because there's a season of it and that they're not just excited about it because I've seen this, I'm not suggesting this about the individual in question here, but it keeps them close to that former sin that they loved. It's maybe not doing it, but it's talking about it. And you just want to make sure that isn't the case. So I say wisdom should prevail in this situation. Jimmy, I've got that was a good news email. Yes. I got another one here.
Okay.
All right, let me see if I can, this is, about 6 months ago, this, hello, Mr. Friel. Mr. Friel, but nevertheless, about 6 months ago, a member of the church I'm a pastor at showed me your video in the three-way pastor's cheat regarding referring to SBC leadership plagiarizing. That's an older video, if I'm not mistaken, using sermon writing committees and AI. Sermon writing committees. I just, wow. You get a group of people together. Why are you in this meeting? I'm really good at stories. So I sprinkle it with stories. And what are you here for? I'm good at Greek. So I'll help make sure that the Greek is, you can throw out some aorist words because it makes you sound smarter and such. Ridiculous. Back to the email. That same day, we happened to be the host church of our annual Baptist Association, specifically the St. Joseph Baptist Association. And we had a meeting, and under new business, I tried to propose a resolution on plagiarism. Well done. But I did such a poor job because I don't know how to speak in resolution language. Yeah, you got to learn the lingo of being in those types of meetings. They told me to work with a resolution committee and bring it back to the semi-annual meeting 6 months later. Tonight, we, as 43 Baptist churches in Northwest Missouri, passed a resolution on integrity in teaching and preaching. Salute! Well done, y'all. Good job, Baptists in Missouri. Because plagiarism is horrible for the church. It's horrible for the body. It's horrible for the pastor who's plagiarizing. And the AI thing, got to be careful. You just, somebody's going to write down some rules about using AI at some point. You know what? I think this is an assignment for Tim Challies. We need to get him on this. How do you use AI without crossing the line? There should be some prints. I think we can use it as a tool. But having it write sermons for you, oof, if that's the way that you want to go about doing it, let somebody else do the preaching, because that's just not the way that a pastor should approach the absolute weighty responsibility of dividing the word of truth for the body and it's gonna totally stagnate your growth. It's the sermon's not going to be yours anyway. You're not going to be preaching it with passion because you're basically reading somebody else's words. It's just awful for you. And if time is the issue, I would say you got to look at your schedule, because if you're leaning on AI, I think it's a cancer. I mean, doesn't have to be, but if that's the way that you're using it, it could be a cancer. To the folks in Missouri who said, hey, if anybody wants to know about this, we'd be happy to share the resolution. It is the St. Joseph Baptist Association in Northwest Missouri. If you can't get a hold of them, send me an email, idea@wretched.org, or text Jimmy, 877-282.
You can answer them.
Oh, that's right. Don't text Jimmy. Don't. Besides, he's going to be reeling from three pieces of nicotine gum. This is Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugar coating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism, it's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning He knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes Him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for His glory and the good of those who love Him. Jimmy, this is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm a little concerned. I'm just wondering if the nicotine gum is what's causing me to want a tattoo.
A face tattoo?
Not a face tattoo. Okay. Just, you know, just something with a Bible verse on it. Something like good. That. This is Wretched Radio.
Something tactful.
Because smoking and tattoos, you know, they're synonymous pretty much. 877-282-2337. I wonder if I'm going to get addicted to nicotine. That's probably why Jason Lyle said, don't chew a lot of it.
Not a lot.
Just so 10 pieces, that's going to be the end of it. Only going to do one a day. But hopefully it gives my taste buds and my sniffer a jump start. I love garlic. I would just love to taste garlic again. So come on, nicotine gum. Please send your suggestions for parasmia to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, pastors or teachers who plead the blood in prayers, aren't we already covered by the blood?
Yeah.
Is it necessary to say that?
No, I get it. I think it must be some of that evangelical sort of lingo that based on the propitiatory work of Jesus Christ, who provides us access and who promises that he hears our prayers. We're offering this petition. I think that's what it is, but I'm not entirely sure because I've never used the phrase myself. I don't think that it means pleading the blood, meaning, you know, forgive us again, cover us again. I don't think that's its usage. Jimmy, you know what this calls for?
AI.
That's exactly right.
I think it's a hymn. I think I do.
You think what?
I think it's a hymn.
The pleading the blood?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fair enough. And by the way, you didn't use AI to find out if there are new terms for an individual who deals with cadavers. In funeral homes.
And I didn't use AI.
You actually called a human.
I did.
Oh, you knuckle dragger. Okay, what did Ethan say?
Ethan said that some people are still called undertakers, but funeral directors or morticians is the most modern.
All right. I you know what? You give it time. Within the next several years, there will be a new term for undertakers. Everything has to get updated. Nobody's what they used to be. It's got to be made fancier sounding. By the way, if you are, and is it undertaker? Is undertaker still cool? I hear that right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
If that's what you do, honestly, praise God for you. That really does require a special person to be able to do that. And perhaps you've been told this, so I'll just echo it. What you do can be such a massive blessing to families. They are in their most vulnerable, weakened state. And somebody who is good and calm and loving and understanding and warm. Oh, and not only that, but the work that you do then to present the body so that the family can begin to experience, if you will, use the term closure. That is a most awesome ministry. Please note, it doesn't need to be in a chapel like a church with a cross on it. That's a ministry. All things are ministries. Everything that the Christian does is a ministry, not because of the activity, but because of who we are. So if that's what you do, thank you. 877-282-2337. Did you use the AI machine already?
So yeah, it tells me where it came from.
All right, let's
hear.
Where
the phrase came from. It's not in the Bible, obviously, we know that. But it's rooted in a more like speaking into existence type thing. It's comes from like a courtroom metaphor where someone pleads the blood before God, like a lawyer might plead his case.
Uh-huh.
So that's where it comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a phrase that I would adopt.
Right.
But I don't think that somebody's a sinner if they do that, especially if they grew up hearing that. I don't think there's anything malevolent, malicious, or heretical about it. But of course, Jimmy would say, that makes somebody a false teacher.
Well, maybe.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Albert. Todd, does God allow depression and anxiety to break his children from habitual sin?
He can. He could actually send it to you. It's not a sin for him to do that. God will use the tools necessary to grow you because he cares, because he loves you, and he wants what is best for you. And he will either cause, if they're not sinful, and or he will permit, if you will, bad things to happen to his children because he wants better for us. By the way, if depression and anxiety are something that you deal with, I know Greg Gifford now has done a number of different series on the subject of anxiety and depression. Please avail yourself of all of the Fortis podcasts. Greg's is good. So are the other ones. I'm telling you, Greg deals with biblical counseling, so emotional stuff. Brad Bigney, marriage, parenting. It's so, in fact, Brad's stuff is so good. It actually transcends marriage and parenting. It's like, okay, I'm not even thinking about that in the context of marriage, but wow, that's really good stuff. That's at FortisPlus.org also. Now you've got, let's see, who have I left out now? You've got Libby doing her podcast, mm-hmm. Intelligent Talk for Women, The Better Way.
Adam Tyson,
The Way of Manhood. That is an awesome podcast. He's in top 5% in the land now too.
Dr. John Krutz.
His stuff integrated. Oh, Scylla. He's so pastoral. He's, you know what? John Krutz, I was going to say he's butter. But maybe like honey, just soothing honey.
What about honey butter?
There is such a thing.
There is such a thing, yeah.
I like it, actually. Yeah, you could put it like on toast.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
I'm not mistaken.
That's good
okay,
stuff.
So John Krotz, I think we need to retitle his podcast.
Honey
John
butter.
Krotz presents Honey Butter. 877. You'll find all of that, by the way, at FortisPlus.org.
You left the most important podcast out.
Which is?
Fortis News. Come on. Okay. I'm just kidding.
That's daily.
It is daily.
Yeah, that's your news feature. So it's 3 minutes long every single day. You get the news from Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I mean, hey, knock yourself out. You want that. That's
you like
all
that
there
sort of
for
thing.
You too. That's just fine.
All right. This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, how can I comfort unbelievers who are mourning the loss of a loved one?
Really hard. Really hard because you don't have anything to really comfort them with. So how can you at least be gracious? Speak well of that person. You know, that her, he always did this. She was like that. She blessed us. I just want you to know I'm grateful for your fill-in-the-blank relationship. So I think you can eulogize and speak well of somebody. But as far as comforting them in that moment, they grieve without any hope. And we can't throw them Christian platitudes because they simply don't apply, unfortunately. Speak well, be gracious, be kind, be warm. If there's a possibility of getting into the gospel, that would be about the best thing that you could do for that individual. And by the way, speaking of eulogizing people, why not eulogize people while they're here? Rather than waiting for somebody to die. Let's speak well of others now. So if somebody in your life has been a blessing to you, don't wait for the funeral where an undertaker is going to be taking care of that person. Mortician is going to be taking care of the person. Speak well of somebody now. It blesses all of us. It really does. And maybe now, more than, say, 10 years ago, it's nice to hear nice things, isn't it? It seems so rare these days. I've got an email here. I'm not holding my never before nicotine stained fingers. I don't know what to do anymore. This David sent this in. He asked Grok AI, if you were the devil, how would you destroy the minds of the next generation without them knowing it? First, I'd whisper in their ears through the glowing screens they hold so dear. I'd fill their days with endless noise, videos that flicker faster than a heartbeat. I'd make sure they never sit still long enough to think, to wonder, to ask big questions. Reflection? That's my enemy. Distraction? That's my old friend. If I were the devil, I'd slip into their schools, not as a horned beast, but as a soft voice in the curriculum. I tell them there's no such thing as truth, just your truth, my truth, everybody's truth. Facts? They're old-fashioned. History? Rewrite it. Till it's a mirror of what they want to see. I teach them to feel first, think later, to shout down anything that makes them uncomfortable. Reason's a fragile thing? I'd shatter it before they even knew they had it. And here's the one that maybe stings the most. I'd cut them loose from their roots too. Family? Tradition? Faith? I'd tell them those are chains, not anchors. I'd sell them freedom. Freedom to drift, to chase every whim. to never owe anyone anything. And while they're drifting, I'd feed them a steady diet of doubt. Doubt in themselves, doubt in each other, doubt in anything bigger than their own appetites. If I were the devil. Mom and Dan, be careful what those little eyes see. Because it isn't just technology. It isn't just a classroom. This whole shebang, it's a spiritual battle. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.